If you'd go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God that is at Corinth, with all the saints who are in the whole of Achaia, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our afflictions, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. And if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. Our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in our comfort. For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. We were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death, but that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope, that he will deliver us again. You also must help us by prayer, so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted us through the prayers of many. For our boast is this, a testimony of our conscience, that we behaved in the world with simplicity and godly sincerity, not by earthly wisdom, but by the grace of God, so and supremely so toward you. For we are not writing to you anything other than what you read and understand, and I hope you will fully understand, just as you did partially understand us, that on the day of our Lord Jesus, you will boast of us as we will boast of you. Pause there. Those of you who were here last week probably think, well, that some of that sounds very familiar. That's because we were here last week for a different purpose, but looking at this chapter as part of last week's sermon, I think got me thinking about the first part of this chapter where Paul talks about this comfort. I've always loved that particular passage, and as I mentioned in the Friday email, for those of you who get it, you know, I had this tidings of comfort and joy phrase sort of stuck in my mind early in the week, and I thought that I have to go back to this particular passage, or at least think about that theme of comfort and joy. We've been talking about sort of how difficult it is to be joyful and those things the last couple of weeks. And this is the last week that we're going to do that. We're going to turn a corner and talk about more joyful things, although I hope that the end result has been comfort and joy of the last several sermons and certainly of this today. Going to try to be fairly brief today because we have other matters to get to yet this day. Not cut it short, but yet try to stay on the brief side. So, as I've warned you sometimes in the past, if you look like you're with me, I can move much quicker than if you start to look confused. Nod knowingly every once in a while, and I think, yeah, they're getting it. I can just go on in that way. When we think about the idea of comfort, we all want that, right? We all want to be comfortable. But when I said in the notes, if you're looking at them at all, make yourself comfortable, I didn't mean that in the usual way. some of you do, and you spread out and relax, and probably utter your typical prayer before the sermon. Now I lay me down to sleep and pray them. So I don't quite mean make yourself comfortable in that way. But I mean, make yourself comfortable in that sometimes we actually fix our hearts, our spirits, such that we resist comfort. We have these wonderful promises that in all our afflictions that God will comfort us. And there are sometimes times when we're afflicted and we're not feeling any comfort at all. And we think, so God's not doing his job. And maybe it's because we've put up a wall. You know, we've sort of armed ourselves against being comforted. I mean, in a sense, we're all just taller children, aren't we? And sometimes you've all had children, or you have children, or you know children. And if you look around, you'll see children. And there are those times when they're angry or upset or disappointed in something. More of those times coming, when they don't get what they quite wanted for Christmas or whatever. And you know the way children can be rather petulant. You know, they want what they want. And you'll say, yes, but look at this, and look at this, and look at this. And we've done this, and we've done that, and we're going to do this. And somehow they still manage to resist all your charm and still be angry or annoyed or disappointed or petulant. That's the refusing to be comforted. And I say, as we grow, we're still taller children, and we can still be just like that. And God can be sending us all kinds of comfort, but we don't recognize it and we don't receive it because we're resistant to it. We've built up our protective shell. You know, we've sort of put up, if you want more modern, our force field. You know, it's up. Everything's up, so nothing gets in. Now, we do that often in a self-protective way. And it makes sense, and it seems very reasonable, isn't it? We think, I've been hurt, I've been wounded, and I don't want to be hurt anymore. And people, even kind people, well-meaning people, Christian people, can sometimes say stupid things, or even things that aren't stupid but are ill-timed. You know, how are you? I am really hurting. I just feel devastated this week. Well, what's God teaching you through this? Teaching me to avoid you. Yeah. Or you know that all things work together for good. Yes, well, why don't you go work something for good over there somewhere? You know, people come. So there's things like that. Sometimes there's hurts coming. Sometimes there's people that are well-meaning coming. Whatever. So we put up the wall. We put up the force field. Say, I'm gonna protect myself. But sometimes we can protect ourselves so well that even God's grace has trouble getting through to us, because we're resistant to all of those sorts of things. So how do we tear down that wall? How do we lower the shields? How do we do that? I think it's easier than we would think. It's easier than we would think. Basically, I'm going to give you two very simple directions. And they really come down to one very simple direction. And that is this: do what you should even when you don't want to. Do what you should even when you don't want to. Now, here's the two parts of that. One is remain in fellowship. Remain in fellowship. And by fellowship, I don't mean, you know, just have a snack after church. You know? Ah, fellowship, yes. Isn't that when we get cookies? Yes, you know, but that's what fellowship has often become, sort of reduced to that. But that's not the essence of fellowship. It is relating to one another, connecting with one another. You know, Christian fellowship is coming together. When Paul says, I long for your fellowship, he doesn't mean let's have a cookie. You know, fellowship can happen with a cookie, and it can happen without a cookie. But it's a way of connecting with others. And when we're suffering and need comfort is the time we're most likely to withdraw, right? To withdraw from that. So do not withdraw from the fellowship. It's the time you most need your brothers and sisters in the Lord, and it's often the time you least want them. So remind yourself that I need this. I need to continue to communicate with people. I need to continue to love and be loved, which we'll get to more in just a moment. But so don't withdraw yourself from the fellowship of believers. And the second part of do what you should do even when you don't feel like it is continue in what we theologians, we churchmen, call the ordinary means of grace. Right? The ordinary means of grace. Because the ordinary means of grace are the ordinary way that God comforts his people. We tend to think, all right, if I need comfort, then God's got to just zap me with it at some point. You know, I'm just going to be going about my day with all my miserable, you know, like with a cartoon cloud hanging over my head. And somehow God's just going to zap through like a big bolt of lightning. And it's going to hit me and I'm going to say, oh, I feel so much better. And God may do that, but he usually doesn't. He ordinarily works in the ways he ordinarily works. And he ordinarily works through the ordinary means of grace, which are worship, prayer, fellowship, all of those things, communion. God reaches us, blesses us, graces us as we worship him, as we serve him, as we do the things that he's called us to do. So often, if we're hurting, that's what we don't want to do, and that's where God ordinarily meets us. It's where he said he would meet us. What is worship? One simple definition is it is the meeting of God with his people. So when you're sitting home thinking, so why doesn't God show up? He's at church thinking, why don't you show up? I'm here. Where are you? You have to put yourself in the right place. God ordinarily blesses his people through the ordinary means of grace. Don't remove yourself from them. That's making yourself comfortable. Now, once you experience some comfort, what do you do with it? You can say, well, I've got it, and now I have to protect it. I was hurting, and I feel better, so I'm going to, you know, just Netflix and just keep away from people. You know, no, Paul says, if we've been comforted, then we have an obligation to comfort others. If we have been comforted, then we have an obligation before God to comfort others. How do we do that? Once again, I'll give you some very simple instruction. This is a simple sermon, because I'm a simple man. Basically, showing up is the biggest part of it. How do you comfort other people? Basically showing up. I think the essence of comfort in fellowship is this. Someone who says, I am with you and I am for you. All right? Isn't that what we want? We can feel alone. I'm in this all by myself. Nobody cares. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. You know, that's how any affliction makes us feel. And everybody is against me. All right? I'm all alone and everybody is against me. How desperately we need one, two, a half dozen people to be there saying, I am with you and I am for you. And often the being with you is just showing up. Sometimes talking, sometimes not. Sometimes listening, sometimes just sitting in silence. But being there, saying, I'm here. I'm with you. I care, and I'm here. And more than that, I'm for you. I want to help you. I want to support you. I still believe in you. I trust you. I care about you. That's comforting another person. Isn't it? Be willing to talk about things that are important. Sometimes be willing to talk about things that are not. I've surprised people, I think, sometimes when I do a hospital visit and someone is quite seriously ill and someone will walk in and I'm telling jokes or some sort of nonsense. And I know people probably think that I have completely lost my mind. And that's entirely possible. But often what I'm doing is sensing that they need a distraction more than anything else. Right? There's a time to talk about serious stuff and there's a time not to. And both are often important. So be willing to talk about important things, but be willing not to. Sometimes it's just not the time. Sometimes someone's not just not ready. And they want to talk about light or frivolous or distracting things or about other things that are going on. A key thing, though, is doing what you say you will do. Doing what you say you will do. If you say you will pray, pray. If you say you will come back, come back. If you say you will, you know, give something, give it. Whatever. If you do what you say you're going to do. That's an important part of I am with you and I am for you. You can trust me because I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do and I'm going to do it. Right? So comforting the afflicted. The source comfort, ultimately, though, we can't lose sight of. Most of what I've been saying you could get anywhere. And here we are in church. And that's because of this last point, that the true and lasting comfort, all significant comfort, ultimately comes from Jesus. That's how Paul brings that in. He starts right with, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who comforts us with all comfort." It is not just God, but the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God who has sent His Son to live and to die and to rise for us, to ascend into heaven, to sit at the right hand of God, making intercession for us, a promise to come again for us. That's ultimately the source of all comfort, who gave us the Holy Spirit and said, "I give you another comforter." So the Spirit comes from Jesus to comfort us. And the Spirit works in and through and among us so that we might comfort one another. And so the idea of tidings of comfort and joy are really what we're waiting for in Advent. Now, we know where it's going. We know Christmas is coming and Jesus was born and all of that. But Advent is a time of sort of waiting again. What are we waiting for? We're waiting for that comfort that can only come from Jesus, that only comes because of Jesus, and only comes through the Spirit sent by Jesus, and is only truly experienced by and among the people of Jesus. That's where we're going in the Advent season. That's what we're celebrating in the Advent season. When we sing, we're not doing it today, but when we sing this song that talks about tidings of comfort and joy, I hope that'll resonate with you. That talking about Jesus coming for us brings comfort and joy. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you so much for your care of us. Lord, we are afflicted in many ways. Some far more than others, but all have experienced griefs and cares and woes and pains and worries. And Lord, you are the God of all comfort. Help us to know that, to trust that, to pray with expectation that we will be comforted. Lord, slow us down from the busyness of life and the hectic nature of even this season so that we might experience comfort and joy, and then we might be people that share it, that spread it in the name of Jesus, and in that name we pray. Amen.